Hi, I'm Brad Blaylock.
And I'm Brad McKeon, and welcome to the Brad Report. Warning. The Brad Report contains spoilers. This episode of the Brad Report is brought to you by the United States of America. What in the world is going on? The Brad Report can be found on Apple, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Anchor, and Spotify. Please rate and review us 5 stars only and make sure you subscribe. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Brad Report. Last week, we reported on Thor, the god of thunder from the land down under, as he came to Midgard and foiled his half-brother Loki's plot to take over Asgard. And this week, we will be belly-flopping into Captain America, the first Avenger, which takes place during World War II, and is a direct lead-in to the Avengers movie. Now, kicking us off with our summary, going to hand it over to my co-host, Brad.
Steve Rogers, a rejected military soldier, transforms into Captain America after taking a dose of a super soldier serum. But being Captain America comes at a price as he attempts to take down a warmonger and terrorist organization in the Nazi regime known as Hydra.
Hydra!
Yep.
Good summary.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. That's how we like it. So we're getting to some of our themes, and we're just going to popcorn back and forth. Do you want to kick us off with our first theme?
Sure. So I watched this movie today, and I kind of forgot how much I like this movie.
It's a really good movie.
I think if you'd have asked me,
I think it's top 10.
I don't know. We'll see. Because I think if you'd have asked me a week ago, hey, Brad, rank your 10 favorite Marvel movies, this would have been nowhere near it. I wouldn't have thought of it. It just wouldn't have come to mind.
Yeah.
But this is much better than I remembered it being. I don't know why I didn't.
It's so easily the best. Captain America has the best trilogy of movies, in my opinion.
Yeah. Let's see. He's got this, Winter Soldier, and Civil War.
Yeah,
and Civil War counting as part of his trilogy.
It is his trilogy. It's called Captain America: Civil War.
Yeah, that's kind of unfair.
That's not his fault.
His Iron Man doesn't get Captain America and Thor and Spider-Man in his trilogy.
Well, that's the writer's fault.
I know. I'm just saying. It's not super fair. But no, yeah, maybe we'll see. But yeah,
it's definitely not Thor.
No, gosh, no. Thor. Dark
I mean,
World
Thor's going to be the first one to get a fourth movie.
Sure.
But
Dark World disqualifies.
Yeah, and Iron Man 2 is okay, and Iron Man 3 is not great. But yeah, I think he definitely has the best trilogy. But I digress.
We'll see. I just want to say that because I forgot how much I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, it's good. It's really, really good.
So I'd say the first theme that, I think is super prevalent in this is this the theme of a war and the struggle of war. And I mean, that's why Captain America was invented originally, right? He was kind of invented as a, is the word propaganda too strong?
I don't know. I think it was more of kind of a symbolism because Captain America was written and created
during World War II.
Before the U.S. was even involved in World War II.
Well, so the very first issue of Captain America, on the cover, he's punching Hitler in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's pretty on the nose. It's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very much propaganda.
I know. People tend to associate propaganda negatively. I don't necessarily mean it negatively, but it is, and that's kind of his whole thing. And this movie is kind of a microcosm of World War II, right?
So yeah, especially when he's selling the bonds and everything.
Yeah, he's going around selling the bonds. Even more than that, so you look at Rogers' ideology versus his versus the main bad guy he fights, Red Skull or Schmidt.
Schmidt, Red Skull.
Red Skull. So the Red Skull, he obviously, even in the movie, he's technically a Nazi, right? He's head of the Hydra division, which is a sect within Nazism, I guess.
Yeah.
But he kind of embodies the entire like Nazi philosophy, right? That what Nietzsche called like the Übermensch.
Yeah.
Übermensch. I don't know how to say it. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Close enough.
Yeah.
But just like this idea that certain men are better, that they have the right to be better, that they are naturally better and are deserving of being essentially gods on earth, right? In the beginning of the movie, Red Skull is like looking for this power, which we know is the Tesseract because we've seen it before. And it's hiding in this like Norwegian church,
which is in a super obvious location.
And this priest or cleric, whatever like, you want.
What's the most beautiful thing in this right. church? Oh, this great mural. I wonder if it's hiding there.
Right. It is the cleric tells him, he's like, you know, this power is not made for the eyes of ordinary men. Like, it's not made for people like you and me. And Red Skull responds to me, goes, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Which just kind of summarizes his whole philosophy that like me and others like me deserve to be on top, and others who are dissimilar from me deserve to be below me.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, you have Captain America, who was like the polar opposite, you know, and he like his whole thing was that like others are like you should put others before yourself. When there's a grenade thrown, you should dive on it instead of running away for your own safety. When your friends are in prisoners of war, which mm-hmm. happens all the time. You'd be shocked how often your friends exactly. are prisoners of war. But you go get them, right? Like, you put yeah. others above yourself. And I think that this movie was just kind of like a summary or just like a little microcosm of World War II, which is like, I mean, war is like a tough thing and like a really tricky subject, like morally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is one of the most like morally unambiguous wars ever fought. You know, like,
yeah.
like you've got like, you know, like Hitler and the Nazis doing mass genocide. It's like, okay, well, I can.
They're the bad guys.
I can see which side to be on here. Like, this isn't a complicated issue. I think this movie just kind of sums up that war and like the idea of like a just fight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my first theme is the strength of character. Mm. And I think what we see with Steve is kind of what you already talked about, you know, his self-sacrifice and being willing to jump on the grenade, and how Erskine has a lot of talks with Steve about, you know, hey, no matter what happens, you know, I want you to make sure that like, while I want you to be a good man, and the importance of, he says, you know, the serum magnifies what's inside, and like, good becomes great and bad becomes worse. And just how important that is that, you know, he's saying like, you know, I'm not doing this just to kill Nazis. He said, I don't like bullies. But also there's also the point, because Steve's not perfect. You know, early on, Bucky says like, you've got nothing to prove, right?
Right.
And he's like, he does have a chip on his shoulder. He's like, yeah I'm small, I'm weak, and I get beat up all the time.
It's not totally altruistic.
Exactly. Sure. So, but yeah, the strength of his character that you see throughout is just his selflessness and wanting to save his friends.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you feel like that theme? Because I think you're right. Like, there's a theme of like this theme of like strength, not necessarily being physical strength, but it's also like, you know, like the strength of the will and of character and stuff like that. Do you think that gets undermined a little bit with like what this movie is? Where like, so like the idea is like Steve Rogers is this like guy who's got this super like strong character and strong will, and will put others before him and will sacrifice himself. But like, he still needs to be super, like,
he still needs to be super strong and the most athletic human ever.
Do you think it kind of undermines that whole theme a little bit?
It's just that, you know, these people that are strong naturally, like these big people that are stronger, is like they should aspire to be like, remember what it's like to be a little guy, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I think it does undermine it in a sense, because, you know, so often in the Captain America movies, I totally forget that he started out as this small guy that would get beat up all the time. You know, it's almost like it's not even a thought. It's just that, you know, Steve Rogers is there and he's huge and he's super athletic and jumps out of airplanes without parachutes and is super huge. But yeah, I think it gets undermined a little bit.
Yeah.
So But having someone that's strong that does have character is kind of what is to be desired and sought after.
Okay. I don't know if this is a theme necessarily, but just I think this movie more so than any other Marvel movie really dives into like being a comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I mean, obviously all the Marvel movies are based on comics or superheroes or whatever, but this movie, I feel like, and it's partly because Captain America, like if you do an origin story about him, you have to like transport back into a time, you know, like when comics were like really becoming a thing mm-hmm. for the first time and they were being created. And so it feels like this movie more than any, like just really jumps into that like campy type of innocence that Cap has. And like, just like the, like everything's very black and white, like most comic books are. Yeah. And so I feel like, I don't know if this counts as a theme or not, but I feel like this is just a very like comic book movie.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, definitely if it's not a theme, it's definitely a part of the storytelling, is how they take the awkwardness and silliness of Steve Rogers and that time period, and they just lean into
it. Sure, absolutely.
And all of the things with as he's selling the bonds, like the dancers, and he's dressed in the ridiculous costume, and some of the weird things that he says that you're just kind of like, you know, people don't talk like that anymore, you know? But I think it's great. The second theme that I have is the cost of sacrifice.
Okay.
And how during the war there was like, obviously, as you mentioned earlier, kind of it's a microcosm, and like specifically of the sacrifice that soldiers were making. They were laying down their lives.
Yeah.
And then Steve ultimately chooses to make that sacrifice, but because he's a superhero, he survives 70 years later.
Of course.
And then he kind of, it really dawns on him in that ending scene, is just like what he really sacrificed. And basically like everybody that he knew from when he was alive is gone, and really highlights that sacrifice that, that is made in war, and that Steve made a selfless sacrifice, especially as according to the story, save the entire United States of America.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think the last one I'll say is that there's a theme here in this movie of just self-assuredness, knowing who you are. And I think that a lot of superhero movies, what we get is we get like gritty kind of, like self-doubting, like the hero kind of comes to believe that he can do it eventually, or his faith is shaken in the water or something. But like from the very beginning of this movie, Steve Rogers believes in himself and believes he will get the job done. Now, until he has the like serum, like there's no chance really, you know, like, but like he never has this, he never lacks for a sense of purpose, right? Mm-hmm. The entire movie, Steve Rogers knows his purpose. He knows what he's here for, why he's here. And he's like an arrow, like shot from a bow. He's just straightforward. He knows his purpose. He's self-assured. I think it's something that we don't get a ton in. I think that's one way that you can compare him to Superman in a lot of ways. Like,
yeah,
not like origin Superman, but like, you know, Superman's known as like the confident,
truth, justice,
all that. And Captain America really like has that, like
they both called like Boy Scouts.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's super on point. If just, he needs some encouragement, because at some points from Peggy specifically, but he's very sure on his path, and then once he chooses that, he does not waver. And no, you see that repeatedly throughout his movies. Yeah. Is that
he's stubborn.
Yeah, he's stubborn, and he's not gonna budge.
Sure.
So, but that's really cool. And that's what one of the things that Marvel does well is that they know this character very well.
Yeah.
And how to put him in good stories. Anything else? All right. So storytelling, and we kind of set this up as like, what did you think of, like, this is kind of like, this is a period piece. Like all the other movies that we've had so far are set in the 2000s. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves back in the 1940s. 40s. So as you were rewatching this today, like, how did you feel about that?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I mean, the director is Joe Johnston, who also directed another period piece from around this time called The Rocketeer. And so he clearly has this like aesthetic, this early, like mid 20th century type of aesthetic. And the music is very like brassy and warm. And I think they nailed like the period piece aspect of this, right? Like it's a little bombastic at times. It looks great, I think.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, so I think that superhero movies often aren't like, I think sometimes we talk about superhero movies as if it's like their own genre.
Yeah.
In reality, superhero movies are always just like takes on different genres, right? Like, it's not its own thing. They fit into other genres. It's just a different take on that, right? So this is a war movie with a superhero spin on it, right?
Yeah, like the first Wonder Woman movie.
Right, exactly. And so I think that like it's a very good war movie, and it's a war movie where the main hero has some extra abilities, but it looks really good and it's done well. And I like this aesthetic a lot. I like the way people dress in this period.
Yeah.
I just think it looks good.
Yeah. I mean, everything that you said was on point, and it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is amazing.
Soundtrack's good. There's a lot of a lot of brass and like sepia tones.
Exactly. It's fun. Yeah. It's super, super good. And I think like it's really good in the storytelling is that this directly sets up for Avengers. And
yeah, so absolutely.
The last scene.
You talking about the post-credit scene or the last scene?
The last scene.
Okay.
Where he wakes up and he doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
And it's and he like
hops out.
Of yeah. Like that's a trailer for the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
It's just that. And it's that ending is so different from every other single Marvel movie. Except for maybe Infinity War.
Yeah. I love the, that baseball game. That's from May 1941, and I was there.
Yeah.
And she, you can see her face. She's like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something that I want to talk about in that scene later on.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think it's – yeah, I really like this movie a lot, and it was really, really good, and I really enjoy it. So let's get into some characters. Leading off is Steve Rogers, Captain America, played by Chris Evans, who does a great job.
He does. He does a really good job.
Yeah. He apparently he turned the role down a lot, and people were kind of like hesitant because he was the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four, which was not great. But
wait, he turned the role down a lot? Or?
He turned the role down of Steve Rogers down.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. But, I mean, I know that, you know, the Human Torch didn't go super, super well for anybody, but let's see, what else was he in? I mean, he was in Snowpiercer before this. He was in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. He wasn't in a lot.
What else? Is anything big? Scott Pilgrim?
I don't think so.
Oh, Snowpiercer actually came out after this, so never mind. Scratch that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess this is his first like real big break. Obviously, like Scott Pilgrim became a like cult classic type of deal.
But yeah,
it wasn't super.
This was his popular. First time lead in a leading role.
Yeah, and he crushes it. I think that he really gets the like the earnestness of the character. Right, there's like a really special like earnest vibe to yeah. Steve.
Kind of like a sad vibe too.
Yeah, a little sad, but more so just to me at least, where like. You just trust him. Right?
Yeah.
Like you believe what he says when he says something, right? You know that he means it and that he means well. And so I think Chris Evans really captures that well. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, he does a great job. I mean,
and he's freaking jacked.
He is jacked.
Dude is so, so ripped. It's funny, like, you see, like, the first one, the first, you know, Steve Rogers, where he's, like, all kind of, like, weekly and sick and stuff, and I guess they just CGI'd away all of his muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see them open up the
the like capsule thing for the first time after he takes a serum, and you're like, holy crap.
And what are those khaki pants made out of, first of all?
Oh, yeah, just stretch like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like golf pants?
Yeah, seriously.
Those are Nike 1940s.
Yeah.
That's a good point. They don't do that for Hulk. His stuff rips.
His stuff rips.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
High quality.
Yeah. I think they were trying to make
Duluth,
sure. Yeah.
Duluth Trading
Company. Duluth Trading Company. But yeah, he does a really great job. And I mean, he's awesome in this movie. And he really does have that kind of like, I guess not sadness, but maybe melancholy earnestness. And just like he wants to do the right thing.
Yes, absolutely. For sure.
Yeah. All right. Bucky Barnes.
I've always been a little like.
You don't like Bucky.
I don't dislike him. I'm just indifferent. Like, I don't know. I just don't. He doesn't do anything for me. Like, he's okay. He's fine. He's Steve's best friend. And so that means he's important to the plot. And he falls off a train. And that's sad. I'm sure we'll never see him again.
Oh, my gosh.
Boy, we're watching these movies for the first time. Oh,
for the first time. Yeah, for sure.
He's we'll never see him again. He's gone.
I think it was the importance of, like, I like his, Steve's and Bucky's chemistry so much more than Robert Downey Jr.'s and Don Cheadle's. And the chemistry that they have is like, you actually kind of feel that like these two people know each other very, very well and have lived with each other for a long time and like taken care of each other and looked out for each other.
I just think that maybe it's just me, first off, right?
Oh, it's definitely you.
I know people like Sebastian Stan a lot, but I always feel like Bucky comes off very like wooden and stiff.
What?
I do. I don't know. I don't know. Like, it just feels stiff.
See, I think that he...
And again, that's probably just me. Everyone loves Sebastian Stan.
This is how I understand Bucky's character, is that he has always taken care of Steve. And he's always looked out for him and had this responsibility. And, like, even when Steve would continue to get beat up and put himself in these situations where he knew he was going to get hurt and he knew he couldn't handle himself. And so I think there's this responsibility, yet also respect that Bucky carries with him really well, especially when you see the flashback Winter Soldier, where there's a flashback like after Steve's mom's funeral, and where like Bucky knows where the hidden key is and like helps him out and like takes care of him and is like, hey, you don't have to do this by yourself.
Yeah.
And Steve is so kind of like hard-headed and stubborn. He's like, no, I can do this on my own, because he wants to prove himself.
Sure.
And Bucky's saying like, you don't have to. But then the roles kind of flip and where Steve is stronger and bigger and more capable. And he's like, where now I am taking care of you and I am taking care of myself. And so there's kind of a mourning of a loss of that relationship in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. how's Sebastian and Anthony Mackie's chemistry? Is it good?
I thought it was funny.
Okay.
I think it's funny, especially in Civil War when they're in the car.
Yeah.
And it's like, can you move up your seat? No.
Yeah, that's good.
And then they're running in the airport. It's just like, what is that supposed to be? And Anthony Mackie says, everybody's got a gimmick now.
Because that show is probably like the one I'm least excited about.
No, Armor Wars is what you're least excited for.
Well, they're like the same thing. They're both in pseudo whatever universe of like, kind of C-list. Anyways, next we have Dr. Erskine.
Played by Stanley Tucci, I think is how you say his name.
That sounds really good to me.
But yeah, he does a really good job, even though he
dies very quickly.
Very quickly, but like he's instantly likable. You really like all the things that he has to say to Steve and just how kind and compassionate he is.
Yeah.
He does a really great job.
Yeah, he's good, and I think that they use his character really well. Like, they make you make his death meaningful, right? Like, he's the reason that that Steve Rogers is selected, that Steve Rogers even gets into the Army, that Steve Rogers is selected to be the soldier participating in the serum injection. So he's a super meaningful character just in terms of the story and like developing and advancing the plot. But more than that, like Steve knows that he's the reason that Steve is there. And so he feels this, like the pain of the loss. So I think they did a really good job with this character. It'd be kind of nice if we could have gotten more of him, but hey, it's fine.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. He did a really great job.
Yeah. And next we have Peggy Carter, who I think is great in these movies. I think her and Steve Rogers have awesome chemistry.
Awesome. She is super underused.
They have, I think that, what's her name? Haley Atwell.
Yeah. She's
Chris Evans.
Great.
Her and Chris Evans have awesome chemistry, and they look so, they look so like a real couple at times, right? Mm-hmm. And when they're going through this awkward like phase of like they both like each other, but they're not gonna say they like each other.
Yeah.
Because if you say you like each other, then you've said it and now it's out there and then you have to do something about it. And it just looks so real and authentic when they're together. And I like them on screen together.
And like this story has the through line all the way through Endgame for Steve.
Yes. Okay, that's another thing that I'll save this comment for when we get to quotes. But there's a lot of quotes that you recognize from later movies found in this movie, and especially with Peggy, right at the very end where he's like, when he you already mentioned this, but when he finds out that it's 70 years in the future,
it breaks my heart
and
every single time.
Him, and he's like, had a date, you know, it's like, dang.
And then it just cuts to black and then the music swells and you're just like, they had a date. Okay. They were going to make it. They were going to be perfect together. Yeah. She's awesome. I love Haley Atwell. And like, I think that's like, they keep bringing her back and like, she has important roles in every single one of Captain America's movies, but she also plays an important part in she's in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
And she makes an extra spoilery appearance in Endgame.
Sure. Has anyone asked the question, what would have happened if she took the serum?
What if Peggy Carter
had taken
the serum? I don't know. I think there's going to be some answers to that later this summer, potentially.
Potentially. All right, next we have Howard Stark.
This guy is one of your favorite actors, isn't he?
I love Dominic Cooper. Yeah. Dominic Cooper is awesome, and he is so quirky, and he's just kind of odd.
Yeah, he is an odd fellow.
He's just kind of like an odd actor, and he comes across as a little quirky and a little funny. And I like him. I like him a lot, and I think Howard Stark is a cool character, and I like having him on screen, and especially kind of like the younger version of Howard Stark, where he's still, I don't know. It's almost like
it's the Howard version of Tony.
Yeah. And it's like, if Elon Musk wasn't a huge dweeb,
yeah,
it'd be Howard Stark. Like if Elon Musk was cool,
he'd be Tony or Howard Stark.
Yeah, it'd be Howard Stark. And so I don't know. There's something cool about this, about a guy who is really smooth and funny and charming, but also like, insanely brilliant inventor and genius, and I like that.
Yeah, he and Peggy, Howard and Peggy, are the most reoccurring like C-list characters in all of the Marvel movies. I'm saying that off the cuff, so I don't know if it's actually true.
Yeah, I don't know about Howard, but I do know Peggy for sure. I'm thinking about Howard, some of his appearances. I mean, if you count the one where like we watch him get murdered or whatever,
Yeah.
Civil War. And then there's the time travel.
And Endgame.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, okay, maybe they're D-list Rhodey? Characters.
Rhodey?
Oh, my gosh.
Reoccurring C-list?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some people.
Hawkeye?
Yeah. who's Kobe?
Kobe?
Not Robin from How I Met Your Mother. Who does she play? What's her character's name? In Avengers. Maria Hill. Maria Hill, C-list character, most reoccurring. That's her name, Maria Hill. Anyways, all right. But yeah, Howard's awesome. Love him. He's great. Next, we have Colonel Chester Phillips, played by Oscar winner Tommy Lee Jones. And he's Tommy Lee Jones in World War II movie, seemingly. And he kind of just, I don't know if he's playing himself or he always plays himself in all of his movies. But
he's the same character.
He's the same character. But it's awesome. And the character fits in. And especially when some of the scenes later on where they do throw the grenade, like that's a really cool scene. Some of his dialogue in there is a lot of fun.
There's like a Tommy Lee Jones cinematic universe.
Exactly.
It's just him in different clothing because he's the same person every time.
With different character names.
But it's okay. It's great.
He's great. All right. Schmidt or the Red Skull.
I like him. I think it's interesting.
Played by Hugo Weaving.
Yeah. I like the ideological contrast between him and Steve Rogers. This is obviously interesting. I mean, it's always fun watching like a Nazi get punched in the face. Like, you know, it's just kind of satisfying.
Oh, super satisfying.
So
I feel like the other Nazis in this movie, they the scene where he's like has the Tesseract and he's like building weapons. And I feel like the point, if I was one of those officials or whatever, or sergeants or captains or whatever, if a guy's firing up a weapon and he's starting to count the number of people in the room, that's a good hint that you need to get out of there. Anyways, but yeah, he's menacing. He's scary, you know. And
the makeup is really good. I don't know if it's CGI or makeup. I don't know
how they did it. Or mixture.
But it looks really good. Like the red face and the way they accentuate his features and his jawline and cheekbones. It looks really good.
Yeah, it does. And he does – the voice is awesome. And his assistant in this is Zola, who makes an appearance also in The Winter Soldier. Is just kind of Toby Jones. He's just like, yes, kind of like that skulking assistant genius person that gets captured. And he does a great job too. But that's all I have for characters.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get into some scenes and quotes. So do you want to lead us off with the first scene?
Yeah. So one of my favorites is the scene where Dr. Erskine and Tommy Lee Jones, I know we just said the character's name, but it's Tommy Lee Jones.
Phillips. Yeah.
So when they're talking about picking Steve Rogers
to be the
soldier that represents the army in this experiment, you know, and he's like, look, why are you picking this dude? Like he's scrawny, he's weak, he's just not who we're looking for. We're looking for, like, we've got all these other guys who are so much bigger and stronger, and they're soldiers.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dr. Erskine's like, well, he's got all the immeasurables. He's got the, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And he's got the immeasurables.
He's a gym rat.
Yeah.
First one in, last one out.
Exactly.
Real coach's kid.
Yeah, real coach.
Scrappy. But Erskine, you know, is like, well, he's just got these immeasurables. He's got these things about him. And Tommy Lee Jones tries to prove a point. He's like, well, you need guts. You know, you need guts to win a war. And I don't know if he's got it. He pulls a grenade and throws it, and it's obviously a dud. And everyone runs away except for Steve, who throws himself on it to save the rest of the people around him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great scene.
It is a great scene, yeah. There's the parts where he's like I have the quotes. When you brought a 90-pound asthmatic onto my army base, I'll let it slide. I thought, what the hell? Maybe it'd be useful to you, like a gerbil. Never thought you'd pick him. And then he's just like, look at that. He's making me cry as he was failing to do push-ups. That was really funny. Yeah, I really like the scene, that scene a lot. And also just kind of all the scenes in general where they're doing the training and you've got small Steve.
Yeah.
And for sure. Where he does the, especially when he's talking with Dr. Erskine before the night of the experiment, and he's telling him, it's like, you know, hey, like we've did this before with Schmidt, it went bad, and kind of setting up that confrontation later on. But he's also saying like, hey, I want you to be a good man, like the little guy who doesn't know what it's knows what it's like to not have strength and will respect it. But then he offers him a drink, and then he's like, "What am I thinking? So you have to experiment tomorrow. You cannot be drinking this." That part's that scene's really, really good.
And then he gets both of them, and Steve's like, "Are you gonna take both of those?" And he's like, "I don't have an experiment.
I'm not undergoing a procedure tomorrow."
He's like, "It's fine for I'm fine."
Yeah, that's a really good scene.
I had a scene in my head. I just lost it. What was it? I really like the scene where they, so after Steve goes off and gets the prisoners of war back, I like the scene where they are marching back into camp and Peggy Carter and the like army captain played by Tommy Lee Jones are talking, and he's like filing a report. And essentially it's the report is saying, hey, like Captain America, Steve Rogers was lost. We're presuming him dead at this point. None of our intelligence has brought anything back. So we're presuming that he's dead. And he's telling Peggy Carter, like, hey, like, this is on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You, like, his blood is on your hands. And then he sees all the men running. He's like, where are they going? What's up?
Yeah.
And it turns out Captain America has come back to the camp with all the prisoners of war that he has freed, more or less single-handedly, from this, like, Hydra station, which is pretty neat.
Yeah. So here's my question. If you become the greatest athlete in the world,
no,
with zero, I mean, he was on the military base, but like he didn't, how does that automatically make you a great soldier?
Well, he's more than just the, I mean, he's more than just the greatest athlete in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, so he's not, it's not like
he's superhuman.
He's not LeBron. It's not LeBron James.
Yeah. You
know, like, I mean, yeah, he's a superhuman at this point. So it's different than him just being the best athlete, right? Like he, so remember when he says that this increases not just the things on the outside, but also things within. So like,
yeah,
presumably Steve can learn fighting techniques twice, three times the speed.
Yeah, because of his memories improved. So and yeah,
when he starts training and doing fighting exercises after that, presumably he gets, you know, better so much quicker. So I think it makes sense when you consider that. Yeah, I think it makes a little sense. I don't know. Do you think it's a little wonky?
No, I just, I mean, like, as I was thinking about it, it's because he, it's hard to see Captain America's superpowers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's just really strong and durable.
Really fast and, like, heal super quick. And
does he heal quickly or is he just harder to hurt?
I think it's both.
Both?
In the comics, I know he heals super quickly.
Okay.
But
I don't know if I've seen him. I mean, he's certainly never done any like Wolverine type stuff.
No, not like that.
Sure.
I think they're in one of the comics I read, they said like he's like, oh, you know, I've got some broken ribs and a dislocated shoulder. He said should be healed in about 4 days.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So what about, did you go? Would you share?
Yes, mine was the last one.
Okay.
No, it's okay.
So yeah, I really like the scene where they're kind of having the montage of like him and is it the Howling Commandos? That's not right.
Oh, his little group.
Yeah.
I don't remember what his group.
Oh my gosh! How could I?
I don't remember what they're called.
Forget that. I'm embarrassed.
Lady Sif and the Warriors 3.
I feel like, and live Googling, Howling Commandos. Okay, I got it right.
There you go, Brad.
Oh, phew.
I never doubted you.
Yes, you did. I doubted myself. So anyways, those guys are a lot of fun. They've got a bunch of different people represented. Like, obviously, they don't get as big of a star spotlight in this, but they're a lot of fun and just the characters and the variety. And they're like, when he's rescuing them, they're like, it's like, they're like, who are you? I said, I'm a Captain America. And they're like, who? Yeah. That part's really funny.
You have no clue who he is.
No clue who he is.
Yeah, that's good. I really like the scene at the, I mean, I love the last fight between Red Skull and Captain America. It's really good. And the scene where he's flying the plane,
mm-hmm.
I think is really good. And it's really well done. He has to crash into the, I guess, glacier, iceberg, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Ice cliff. I don't know.
The Arctic.
The Arctic. Just all the Arctic. Yeah. They crashed the plane. I think that's really good. And that plane alarm was actually modeled after like real like concept art from like German like war architects and stuff who were like trying to come up with new and like advanced and better like plane technologies. And they took their designs essentially and kind of finagled them with them a little bit. And that's how they got the design for the plane that Red Skull had, which I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah. I don't know, I have any more scenes.
Let's do some quotes.
But I have some quotes.
Let's do it.
So the first one I have is Howard Stark when they're kind of like Steve's in that, oh, Peggy's mad at me kind of thing. And Howard says, the moment you think you know what's going on in a woman's head is the moment your goose is well and truly cooked. That part was really funny. What about you?
Yeah, I have a lot too as well. The first one I'll say is, so when they are on the, I guess it's like a Rolls Royce. They're on this car and they're chasing after Red Skull. They're trying to catch up to the plane before it takes off. And Peggy says, wait. And she pulls Steve down. She kisses him and says, go get him. So, and Steve is like surprised by the kiss. And so he looks over and he sees Colonel Phillips. And Colonel Phillips is like, I'm not kissing you.
Yeah, that part was super funny. The part, the scene after Steve saves Bucky and he's just like, whoa, you used to be smaller. And he's like, what happened to you? And Steve says, I joined the army. That part's really funny.
Yeah, that's good. I like the one where Peggy, so this is when Steve comes back with all the POWs.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you're late. Couldn't call him a ride. He holds up like a transmitter with a bullet hole through it. And it's just like, oh, what the heck?
Yeah, that's really funny. So I think this is both going to be in our favorite quotes, but it's the one where Nick's like, hey, you've been asleep, Cap, for almost 70 years. Mm. You going to be okay?
Ooh.
He says, yeah, I just had a date. Ah, that's so sad.
Yeah, that was sad. Well, I teared up a little bit. Not gonna lie. So this is one I like a lot because it really sets the tone for just how evil the bad guy is, essentially. So it's this random Hydra soldier says he's the last survivor of attack. He goes, sir, we fought to the last man. And Red Skull says, evidently not.
Yeah.
And just blasts him away.
Shoot. Yeah, it was crazy.
I was like, okay, so Red Skull, not good guy.
Yeah.
Noted.
Noted, for sure. The scene where they're escaping and blowing up that factory, Red Skull reveals his Red Skull for the first time fully, and he says, no matter what lies Erskine told you, you see, I was his greatest success.
Yeah.
And then he removes his face, and it's, you're kind of like, whoa. And Bucky says, you don't have one of those, do you? Which I thought was funny.
I think this quote really just sums up the person of Steve. Mm-hmm. And it's a dialogue between Peggy and Steve. And
oh, yeah, in the car?
Nope. You're talking about this is the longest you've ever talked to a woman, that scene?
No. Oh, yeah. I am talking about that scene.
Okay. Well, I was talking about this is, again, when he goes off to save Bucky. She says, what do you plan to do? Walk to Austria? If that's what it takes. You heard the colonel. Your friend is most likely dead. You don't know that. Even so, he's devising a strategy. By the time he's done with that, it can be too late. You told me that I was meant for more than this. Did you mean that? Every word. Then you got to let me go. And I think that really highlights the person and character of Steve Rogers and his kind of like everything just seems so simple for him. Like to him, it seems like for him, everything is so black and white.
Yeah.
There's right and there's wrong, and he can see it clearly, it feels like.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's awesome. I have another quote from Colonel Phillips where he's just like, you want some of this to eat? And he's just like, what is it? Steak? He's like, what's in it? Cow. And then he's like, oh, I don't eat meat. And then he's like, well, that's a waste.
Yeah.
So.
Another one that I mentioned this earlier, but there are quotes that you hear in this movie that they come back to throughout the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And one of them is, I can do this all day.
I can do this all day.
When Steve is just getting his butt whooped in an alleyway by this guy, he keeps getting up, and the guy's like, "You don't know when to quit, dude." So he's like, "I can do this all day," which obviously becomes like a Captain America-ism.
It's
a,
oh, for sure. Yeah, it comes, and he even begrudgingly like has himself say it to him. He's like, "Oh, come on." Like,
yeah.
And also was when Bucky leaves. He says, "Don't do anything stupid until I get back." And Steve says, "How can I?
You're taking all the stupid with you." Oh man, that's good.
Any more?
Let's see. I think I'm done. I mean, there's so many good quotes in this movie. I think we could find more if we wanted to. Like when the general's like, "I thought he'd be taller."
Yeah.
And going with the taller thing, at one point, Peggy asks, after he gets the serum, Peggy's like, "How do you feel?" And he goes,
"It's taller." Taller. Yeah. And then even Schmidt, when he sees Captain America, he's like, "Ah, Captain America, I'm a huge fan of your films." That's all good stuff.
All right, so now we're going to get into our questions, and then we're going to wrap up with our rankings. So question number one is, if you were frozen in ice in the 1940s, what decade would you want to wake up in? And so now you're frozen as an adult. You're frozen at the age you are now. If you're frozen in the 1940s, what decade would you want to wake up in?
Not the 2020s. A rough start. Pandemic, and then this year just started, so always time to improve.
But we're 9 days in at this recording.
It's been a heck of a start so far.
Yeah.
I don't know what. So let's see. So I'm frozen in the 40s. Can I say like later? Like,
sure, I guess
later. We'll just do mystery date.
Okay, mystery date,
and we'll say like 100 years from now.
Wow, 100 years from now.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. I would have said like the 80s or 90s. I feel like we would have gotten some good time in there.
Sure. Yeah, it'd been great.
I mean, there's no really wrong answer here. Okay. Next question we like to ask, who has the best performance in this movie?
I'll say, it's either Haley Atwell or Chris Evans.
Easily.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
Both of them are great, and I think that they really stand out.
Yeah, I think they're both – I think that's exactly right. They're both amazing, and they stand out, and they do a really great job. And we hope to see Haley Atwell, especially in some more mainstream stuff, you know. Okay, so who would you rather be, Steve Rogers or Howard Stark?
That's tough. That's I guess I'll have to say Steve Rogers because he gets to live in like modern times too and experience like normal like comforts of modern living that I really enjoy. So I'll say Steve Rogers just because of that. And I mean, he's so freaking strong.
You get to be a superhero.
And he'd be like, he can take out an entire like Nazi base by himself, essentially.
Exactly.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, I chose.
He gets to carry a shield, like unironically.
Exactly. I chose Steve Rogers as well. It's like he's so awesome. Like you get to be in peak physical shape, and you don't get sick. You know, you stay healthy. You can do all this amazing stuff, and it's just awesome. So, last question, and I know you're probably not going to have an answer because of I know your film and TV choice of medium. So what is your favorite World War II movie or series outside of this movie?
Well, I was going to say this movie.
Well, you can
the question.
You can say this movie.
Then I'll say Captain America, the First Avenger.
Okay.
Well, my favorite World War, whatever.
Two.
All the wars.
Yeah. So my favorite is Band of Brothers. Which I would highly
never seen it.
That's okay. I'd highly recommend if you're like 18 or older.
I've seen A Brother War though. Does that count?
Not quite. but yeah, that they do a really good job with that series as well. So, anyways, MCU rankings. We're gonna do hero, villain, and movie, and this is where we are ranking all the movies. Heroes, villains that we have seen so far.
Right.
So Do you want to lead us off with the hero category?
So here I have Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Thor, War Machine, and Natasha. And obviously I'm treating these characters like as if like these are the only movies we've seen. So there might be some movement as other movies come out. So, but as for now, it's Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Thor, War Machine, Natasha.
Okay, so the top two I have, but then I have Hulk and Thor switched, and then Black Widow and War Machine switched. So I have Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Black Widow, War Machine for my heroes.
Has she been called Black Widow yet?
Fine, I'll change it to Natasha. I'll change it to Natasha. Excuse
me. We don't know who Black Widow is.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't. We know Natasha.
Okay.
All right, villains. I have one Loki, two Obadiah, three Red Skull.
Really?
Four Ivan Vanko, and five Abomination, as his namesake suggests.
Wow. Okay. So I have at the top Red Skull, Loki, Obadiah Stane, Justin Hammer, Whiplash, who is Vanko. I'll just put Vanko because he's not called Whiplash. Excuse me. And then Abomination at the bottom.
Right.
And I mean, Red Skull, like,
he's good.
The dude is literally a Nazi.
Yeah.
He's got to be at the top.
Loki's the god of mischief. What do you want here?
Exactly. Well, this is as they are now, not as it's going to be later. Remember that.
Right. And Loki was pretty terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. I'm going to surprise you with the movie, I think.
Okay.
Number one, Iron Man.
Yeah.
Two, Captain America, the first Avenger.
Exactly. Yeah. Correct.
Three. I'll say correct.
No, that is correct.
Three, I have Iron Man 2.
Correct.
Four, I have Thor.
Yep.
And five, the Incredible Hulk.
Yes, sir.
You said correct.
That is correct.
No, it's an opinion. There's no like.
No, come on. Come on. Correct. All right. What's your final grade? Overall reflections, final grade.
I'll say like I really think I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just like I'm older now because I haven't watched this movie in a while. Maybe it's just I'm older and appreciate different aspects of movies more or what. Mm-hmm. But if you'd have asked me for like 2 weeks ago, just judging off memory, how I felt about this movie, I would not have given it this high of a grade. But I'm going to give it a B+.
Okay.
And say that I really enjoy this movie. I think it's really good. Just like projecting forward, I don't know if it's going to be in my top 10 or not because I can think of a handful of movies I know will surpass it.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's really good and it's going to stay in the top. It's going to hover pretty high for a while.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I gave this one an A. I remember having this movie poster in my dorm room in college.
Okay.
I really, really loved it. I love Chris Evans. I love Hayley Atwell. And it's just a super fun movie, and it's classic good versus evil. And yeah, so I gave it an A. And like I said before, like Captain America has the best trilogy by far. And obviously we're going to be wrapping up some more trilogies. So we'll see how that holds up as some of those characters get further along. But that's where I stand right now.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another episode of the Brad Report. We hope that you dug what you heard. We hope that you will like, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, follow us on social media, and until next time, love you 3000.